Go on, dear. They're all the same at this age, aren't they?
Yes.
And you want a pony?
Yes.
A small hand pulled the Hogfather's hood down to mouth level. Heavy Uncle Albert heard a ferocious whispering. Then the Hogfather leaned back.
Yes, I know. What a naughty pig it was indeed.
His shape flickered for a moment and then a hand went into the sack.
Here is a bridle for your pony, and a saddle, and a rather strange hard hat, and a pair of those trousers that make you look as though you have a large rabbit in each pocket.
But we can't have a pony, can we, Yuffie? Because we live on the third floor.
Oh, yes. It's in the kitchen.
I'm sure you're making a little joke, Hogfather, said Mother sharply.
Ho, ho, yes. What a jolly fat man I am. In the kitchen? What a joke. Dollies and so on will be delivered later as per your letter.
What do you say, Yuffie?
Thank you.
Here, you didn't really put a pony in their kitchen, did you? Said Heavy Uncle Albert as the line moved on.
Don't be foolish, Albert. I said that to be jolly.
Oh, right. For a minute.
It's in the bedroom.
Ah.
More hygienic.
Well, it'll make sure of one thing, said Albert. Third floor, they're going to believe all right.
Yes. You know, I think I'm getting the hang of this. Ho, ho, ho!
At the hub of the Discworld, the snow burned blue and green. The Aurora Borealis hung in the sky, curtains of pale cold fire that circled the central mountains and cast their spectral light over the ice. They billowed, swirled, and then trailed a ragged arm on the end of which was a tiny dot that became, when the eye of imagination drew nearer, Binky. He trotted to a halt and stood on the air. Susan looked down, and then found what she was looking for. At the end of a valley of snow-mounded trees, something gleamed brightly, reflecting the sky. The Castle of Bones. Her parents had sat her down one day when she was about 6 or 7 and explained how such things as the Hogfather did not really exist, how they were pleasant little stories that it was fun to know, how they were not real, and she had believed it. All the fairies and bogeymen, all those stories from the blood and bone of humanity, were not really real. They'd lied. A 7-foot skeleton had turned out to be her grandfather. Not a flesh-and-blood grandfather, obviously, but a grandfather, you could say, in the bone. Binky touched down and trotted over the snow. Was the Hogfather a god? Why not, thought Susan. There were sacrifices, after all that sherry and pork pie. And he made commandments and rewarded the good, and he knew what you were doing. If you believed, nice things happened to you. Sometimes you found him in a grotto, and sometimes he was up there in the sky. The Castle of Bones loomed over her now. It certainly deserved the capital letters, up this close. She'd seen a picture of it in one of the children's books. Despite its name, the woodcut artist had endeavoured to make it look sort of jolly. It wasn't jolly. The pillars at the entrance were hundreds of feet high. Each of the steps leading up was taller than a man. They were the grey-green of old ice. Ice, not bone. There were faintly familiar shapes to the pillars, possibly a suggestion of femur or skull, but it was made of ice. Binky was not challenged by the high stairs. It wasn't that he flew, it was simply that he walked on a ground level of his own devising. Snow had blown over the ice. Susan looked down at the drifts. Death left no tracks, but there were the faint outlines of booted footprints. She'd be prepared to bet they belonged to Albert. And, yes, half obscured by the snow, it looked as though a sledge had stood there. Animals had milled around, but the snow was covering everything. She dismounted. This was certainly the place described, but it still wasn't right. It was supposed to be a blaze of light and a buzz with activity, but it looked like a giant mausoleum. A little way beyond the pillars was a very large slab of ice cracked into pieces. Far above, stars were visible through the hole it had left in the roof. Even as she stared up, a few small lumps of ice thumped into a snowdrift. The raven popped into existence and fluttered wearily onto a stump of ice beside her. "This place is a morgue," said Susan.
"It's going to be mine if I do any more flying tonight," panted the raven as the death of rats got off its back. "I never sign up for all this long-distance, faster-in-time stuff. I should be back in a forest somewhere making excitingly decorated constructions to attract females."
"That's bowerbirds," said Susan.